Tonight, devastating CIA breach. It could be one of the biggest ever. Sources tell NBC News Russia is a possible suspect. Tonight, concerns over privacy. If the CIA can do it, could cyber criminals, by spying on you through your smartphone and TV, how to protect yourself? Critical condition, facing a growing internal revolt over the GOP's Obamacare replacement plan. President Trump makes a hard sell. Hospital attack horror. ISIS suicide bombers disguised as doctors and military commandos make a daring invasion. Massive fire emergency tonight, rapidly exploding out of control. Hidden costs. Patients hit with major fees that insurance won't cover because of two words buried in the fine print. And Inspiring America, an ex-NFL pro changing lives. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. The CIA is urgently assessing the impact of what may be one of the most damaging exposures of vital secrets the agency has ever experienced. Reported details released by WikiLeaks of how the CIA is able to turn personal and home devices into potent eavesdropping tools for spying overseas. In short, the keys to the agency's cyber arsenal. Tonight, NBC News has learned a scramble is on within the CIA to find the source of the leak, possibly one of their own. We get details from NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Tonight, the CIA and the FBI racing to find out who is behind what could be one of the worst U.S. intelligence breaches in modern history. That bombshell release of thousands of documents WikiLeaks claims were stolen from the CIA. NBC News now learning from a senior U.S. official the documents contain authentic information about the CIA's top secret tools for hacking.
If I were inside the agency today, I'd be looking at what was disclosed, who had access to that information, what would be their motivations and abilities to reveal it, and whether or not a foreign country like Russia was involved.
Two U.S. intelligence sources telling NBC News Russia is suspect because of Moscow's ties to WikiLeaks and the hacked emails during the 2016 campaign. Could Russia have hacked the CIA? Or a worse nightmare, could there be a mole, a spy inside the CIA working for Vladimir Putin? Other possibilities, a leak from British intelligence partners or the U.S. consulate in Frankfurt, headquarters for the CIA's hacking operation.
It is a major leak of material. And how they got it will be preoccupying the CIA for weeks to come.
Another key question, how badly has the CIA's critical mission been compromised?
What this does is reveal not just U.S. capabilities, but it gives a roadmap to America's enemies as to not only how to defend against these capabilities, but also how to use them.
The fear terrorists and others overseas could have a playbook for how the CIA hacks into their smartphones, smart TVs and computers, even into encrypted apps like Signal and WhatsApp. The CIA officials tell NBC News knew there was a breach late last year, but not what it was. And now there's political fallout at a White House already at war with the agency.
I think the idea that we are having these ongoing disclosures of national security and classified information should be something that everybody is outraged in this country.
Tonight, WikiLeaks is claiming that they've released only 1% of what they've got. Inside the CIA, tonight the hunt is on. Former officials say likely checking operatives' travel schedules, their contacts, even bank accounts, trying to find the source of the leak. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell tonight. Thank you, Andrea. The fallout from this breach is far-reaching into millions of American homes. Some tech companies say they've already addressed some of their vulnerabilities, but that still leaves a lot of American families asking, if the CIA can do it overseas, do cyber criminals here at home have similar capabilities to spy on you through your smartphone or TV in your home? Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Tonight, security pros say the CIA's alleged hacking blueprints should serve as a reality check for all Americans.
The only secure device would be one that's, you know, turned off, stepped on, melted down, buried, and then maybe it's secure.
I've got him. He's right here on the street.
Cybersecurity pro James Lyne has already demonstrated how easily he could hack into my phone, watch me through the camera lens, and listen through the microphone.
Can I get a small cheeseburger? all of these devices that we're putting around us now potentially could be compromised.
The top tip for phone security, always upgrade to the latest operating system. It will have up-to-date security patches. If you're really worried, tape over the camera, turn off the location services, and the cloud backup. Apple tells NBC News many of the vulnerability issues leaked today were already identified and patched in its latest operating system. Among the CIA's tactics revealed on WikiLeaks, hacking into Samsung TVs even when they were off, then listening to ambient household conversations. Samsung says it's urgently looking into the matter. The vulnerability is no secret. It's the Wi-Fi. The solution is simple. Turn off the Wi-Fi or pull the power. While it's illegal for the CIA to spy on U.S. soil, security experts say hackers and spies are constantly buying, stealing, and trading techniques and software.
Americans are going to have to get used to when they buy these smart gadgets, they're going to have to update them just like we update our desktop computers today.
The chilling reality, a cyber underworld is always trying to break in. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Now to the growing revolt inside the Republican Party over the GOP's plan to replace Obamacare. A hard sell for GOP leaders, stressing that these are just the beginning stages, expressing confidence they'll win enough support to get it done. And President Trump getting involved in a full court press as millions of Americans' health care hangs in the balance. Here's NBC's Hallie Jackson.
After campaigning on his art of the deal,
everybody wants me to negotiate. That's what I'm known as a negotiator.
The ultimate test now of whether he can close one. President Trump hard selling health care with the bill he backs in big trouble, even with conservatives.
They understand that this is just Obamacare with a different label.
The far right frustrated with what's in the bill, like tax credits. Moderates more worried about what's not in it, like keeping Medicaid expansion long term. But for the president, passing this is personal after he spent months making this signature promise.
Repeal and replace Obamacare.
We will repeal and replace Obamacare.
We're going to get health care taken care of in this country.
So to sell resistant Republicans, he's offering not punishment, but olive branches. Bowling night for some conservatives. Others asked to dinner, like one tonight with skeptical Senator Ted Cruz.
The bill as written is not going to pass the Senate.
Its cost won't be clear until the official estimate comes out next week, with the White House preemptively working to wave off a number that could be too expensive for the GOP to get behind. Lawmakers today officially started the process to pass the plan.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of changes?
No.
No changes?
No, absolutely not.
That could be a problem. A GOP source says the House Speaker is privately telling his members the president has their backs, both betting they can get this done together.
This is an all hands on deck because you know what? We all ran on repealing and replacing Obamacare.
Well, this is going to be Donald Trump's biggest sales job because this is emotional. It is personal. There are winners and losers.
The AARP and multiple medical associations have now come out opposing this bill as the president focuses on not just health care, but filling key administration positions. A source close to John Huntsman confirms to NBC News he was offered the job of ambassador to Russia and has accepted. The former Utah governor, of course, had been a big critic of the president's during the campaign. Lester?
Hallie Jackson at the White House. Thanks, Hallie. There is a growing death toll as wildfires explode out of control across several states. Over a million acres now scorched as crews on the front lines work overtime to struggling to contain the spread. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in the fire zone tonight.
It is an all-out firefight from the ground and from the air.
Lock it up and get in!
Dramatic dash cam video posted by a Kansas Highway Patrol trooper capturing a heart-pounding escape.
But this scale, this is more unprecedented when it becomes this large.
Today, 22 million people are under threat with red flag warnings across seven states. So far, at least six people have been killed, including this truck driver in Kansas. Powerful wind gusts blowing up to 35 miles an hour, fueling the flames. Kansas alone, more than 700,000 acres scorched.
Low humidity are hampering the efforts.
In Oklahoma, more than 800,000 acres are charred. Dozens of homes ravaged. This is the path of destruction as seen by an airline passenger.
There's nowhere to run, and there's plenty of grass left to burn.
This is all that's left of Mark Vandewalker's home.
We're carrying on. We will survive. That's what was intended for us all, so we'll just carry on.
Tonight, he and his neighbors are hoping the worst is over.
Oklahoma's governor has declared a state of emergency for 22 counties. Tomorrow, authorities here are hoping that lower wind gusts will help firefighters. But the battle won't be easy, especially with no significant rain in the forecast until this weekend. Lester?
All right. Gabe Gutierrez in Oklahoma tonight. Thanks. Now to a deadly attack at a hospital in Afghanistan. It was carried out by ISIS gunmen disguised as doctors. It happened in Kabul, just yards from the U.S. Embassy, and when it was over, at least 30 people were killed. Our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel, has more tonight.
Afghan commandos landed on the roof of Kabul's main military hospital as four ISIS gunmen were inside, some disguised as doctors, moving from ward to ward. I was in the operation room when a suicide bomber in a white doctor's uniform came in, said a doctor. I fell to the ground. Then he shot my colleague. A local TV station caught terrified men hiding on narrow windowsills during the six-hour siege. They were firing at doctors, visitors, and patients. I hid under a desk, said a man visiting a relative. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul is just a few blocks away. The embassy condemned the attack. No staff was reported hurt. At least 30 people were killed in the assault, including, the government said, the attackers. It follows two similar raids in Kabul on Afghan police and intelligence officers just over a week ago. That attack was claimed by the Taliban, one of several groups now competing for control.
Even with around 9,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan, much of that country remains lawless. And ISIS is exploiting that to try and set up a new base as it faces increasing pressure in Iraq and Syria. Lester?
Richard Engel, thank you. Tonight, two victims are stepping forward for the first time from that photo scandal rocking the Marine Corps. The women are part of a group of more than two dozen whose photos, many of them nude, were posted on a Marine social networking site without their knowledge. A sweeping investigation is underway, and NBC's Miguel Almaguer has the new fallout.
It's the scandal shaking the Marine Corps. Photos of more than two dozen naked fellow service women surfacing on a private Facebook page called Marines United, with nearly 30,000 followers and 2,500 comments, many of them graphic, even condoning rape. Tonight, two of the Marines are speaking out, claiming they're victims, including Erica Butner.
As a Marine Corps veteran, I am disheartened and disgusted with this scandal. Victim blaming and the excuse that some are giving that boys will be boys needs to stop.
Some of the pictures were taken without the victim's knowledge or consent, identifying the women by name, rank, and duty station.
We will not be silenced.
The Corps' commandant called the alleged behavior demeaning and degrading.
It's embarrassing to our Corps, to our families, and to the nation.
But Senator Kirsten Gillibrand wants more, demanding a congressional investigation.
These are women who are willing to serve this country and even die for this country. And to be treated with such disregard and disdain, I think is outrageous.
I encourage all victims of this incident to come forward. You are not alone.
Tonight, in a case of cyber betrayal, the website is down. But the victims say their pain is just beginning. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
It was called A Day Without a Woman, a demonstration for women's rights that took place around the country in many forms today, on the job, in schools, and on the streets. NBC's Ann Thompson has been following it all and has this report.
Clad in red, women skipped work and shopping to demonstrate their economic clout, a $21 billion contribution each day, demanding equal pay, protection of reproductive rights, and better job opportunities.
Do you think this day will change anything?
I think so. I think seeing the amount of people and what we want to change, you can't ignore this.
Hit hard the nation's schools, where women make up 76% of teachers. No classes today in districts in Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina, angering some parents.
I didn't get the chance to take the day off. Why should they?
Symbols spoke volumes. A statue of a little girl now facing down Wall Street's famous bull.
You see her changing, you know, perceptions and stereotypes.
Though much smaller than January's Women's March, its target's still the same, President Trump.
Love, not hate, makes America great.
Many, like these moms, looking to the future.
And what do you hope for your daughter?
I hope that she doesn't have to march for her rights.
A day without women, with much work left to do.
Boycott Trump!
Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead tonight, the thing that hospitals now have to tell you, and it could save you thousands of dollars. We're back now with a major development in a story we first reported here 3 years ago. It's about people who go to the hospital and have no idea they'll end up paying big medical bills for rehab services. It all comes down to two simple words in the fine print. Today, a new law written in response to our reporting went into effect. Our national correspondent, Kate Snow, tells us more.
This is for the Internet.
3 years after breaking her leg, MJ Briku is struggling financially and still feels taken advantage of.
I was mugged. I think that's an appropriate word to use, you know.
MJ was stuck with $28,000 in rehab bills that Medicare would not cover. Why? When she went to the hospital, her doctor categorized her as being under observation. Her chart did not call her an inpatient, even though she was in the hospital for 3 days.
I just wish that they would do something to make it fairer for the people like myself that got caught in this.
For the 55 million Americans with Medicare, nursing facility rehab services are covered only if the patient receives hospital care as an inpatient for 3 consecutive days. Even more frustrating, patients have not always been told whether they're considered inpatient or under observation. That changes as of today, says patient advocate Judy Stein.
What changes now?
For the first time, the federal government is mandating, requiring all hospitals to tell people if they're in outpatient observation status.
That means verbal and written notification, but there is still a catch.
So a doctor could now tell you, Kate, you're under observation status, but can you do anything about it?
All you can do is complain and urge them to change that.
To fight back, she recommends ask if you'll need rehab. Make your case while you're still in the hospital. Talk to the hospital doctor, the discharge office, even enlist the help of your personal physician. MJ is now dependent on Medicaid, unsure if she'll ever get out of debt.
I don't buy anything personally for myself. Basically, I just pay off my bills and try to pay off my debt.
Patient advocates say there's still a lot more to be done, and members of Congress are pursuing more action to address this head on. But, Lester, at least people will now know when they may need to fight being under observation.
This is important information. We'll all look at the paperwork. Thank you, Kate. When we come back, a terrifying moment for some firefighters. A big scare today for the University of Michigan's basketball team. After attempting to take off in high winds, the crew of the team's plane decided to abort the takeoff. They had to slam on the brakes. The plane slid off the runway. Officials said no one was seriously injured. The team was on its way to Washington, D.C. for the Big Ten tournament. Take a look at this. Caught on camera in Palm Beach County, Florida. Firefighters about to enter a burning home when suddenly a backdraft. Flames bursting out the floor. Phenomenon occurs when a sudden rush of air serves as fuel to a hungry fire and it explodes. Two firefighters suffered minor injuries. And in Arkansas, it was all captured by police dash cam. A college student was stopped for driving slowly with a bad brake light. So to prove he was sober, he decided on a novel approach. He happens to be a magician and took out his juggling pins to put on a show as the officer watched. The officer was impressed and case closed. When we come back, how this former NFL player is inspiring America by giving new hope to those who may have lost it. Finally tonight, a man who knows something about winning and losing, having played football in the NFL. But he found his true calling after leaving the game. Joe Fryer tonight on how he's inspiring America.
Soft, quiet. Think about being 50-50 in your front foot and your left foot.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Good.
The larger-than-life presence that dominates this Dallas gym.
Nice.
Could ever be called irrelevant. Yet in 2008, David Vivora was named Mr. Irrelevant, the title given each year to the football player picked last in the NFL draft.
Even as possible. I know it's painful.
The name didn't stop him from succeeding as a pro, but eventually a shoulder injury did.
And my lack of identity outside of football was what ultimately led me to coping and just stuffing pain pills down my throat rather than addressing the person staring back at me in the mirror.
With his life in a downward spiral, the gym became Vibora's sanctuary. He found purpose training athletes.
Massage is free today.
Then found his calling working with amputees. Many of them veterans like Kenny Kalish, who lost both legs and an arm while serving in Afghanistan.
He doesn't let you give up on yourself, and because he won't give up on you.
Vibora now runs the Adaptive Training Foundation, which offers an intense 9-week program for athletes with disabilities, working on their bodies and minds.
They see themselves as broken, and what we're trying to show them is that, you know, what is once broken can be revived with a new purpose.
Chris Schaefer came from Colorado.
Change my life.
He's a police officer who, after multiple knee replacements, had to amputate his leg.
At your lowest point, what did you think?
I didn't want to wake up.
Now, after just a few weeks here,
rapid fire, big swing.
His confidence is returning, all thanks to a man who's anything.
High five me.
But irrelevant.
Boy, I owe him everything at this point. Everything.
What's up, bro?
Joe Fryer, NBC News, Dallas.
We did it. That's going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.